In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God created a physical world for physical man. So we always relate to this world in a physical, concrete way. Even the way that we think about this world still happens in our physical brain. So the physical world is important. What we do in this world is also important. Everything we do confesses something. Nonverbals are a major part of communication. In fact, they say that more than two-thirds of communication happens through nonverbals. In the church, we call nonverbals ceremonies. So ceremonies are meant to teach us. And given the fact that nonverbals account for a large portion of communication, we would do well to pay attention to what ceremonies we employ, so that what we teach may be in accordance with the Word of God. Look at Mount Sinai. God could have come in whatever way he desired. He could have come with a friendly, smiling face, wearing casual clothes, so that Israel would feel comfortable in his presence. No need for them to consecrate themselves, no need for them to wash their garments. God just wanted them as they were. So come as you are, wearing whatever you want to wear. He's just happy that you are here. In that context, how would the Ten Commandments have been received? Would those ceremonies teach that God is holy and his people are sinful, or would they teach something contrary to the word? I fear the latter. Israel would have been left wondering, is God holy or not? Is he relatable and comfortable, or serious and just? Is he conforming to us, or are we to conform to him? Is it comfortable to be in the presence of God, or is it extremely dangerous? Is he God, or are we? So this, his greatest Old Testament theophany, is anything but casual and comfortable. A boundary was set. Any living creature or animal that went up on that mountain was to be stoned or shot with arrows. No hand was to be laid upon him, lest the individual also become unclean. Now that boundary is an image of the law of God. The law of God separates us from him, man from God. God is holy, we are not. So do not go near God, because it is dangerous to the sinner. The people had to wash their garments, for they were dirtied, not outwardly, but again, this was meant to teach them that their hearts were soiled with sin. They could not go near God without his wrath breaking out against them. And then God came. A thunder, lightning, a thick cloud, a loud trumpet blast, smoke wrapped the mountain because the Lord himself descended in fire. An earthquake that shook just the mountain, and the trumpet blast growing louder and louder and louder. Finally, God spoke in thunder. There can be no mistake. God is holy. His people are not. Yet he demands that they live in perfect obedience in accordance with his law. The growing trumpet announced his arrival. He is not concerned with the decibels hurting ears. All must obey the king, for he has come, and all must stand in awe of his law. So the trumpet will sound, and none will be able to give an excuse, yet all must give an account of their deeds. He requires perfection. The king will not be swayed by excuses or justifications as to why this or that couldn't happen. He will not be swayed as to why they had to jump the fence to get closer to God, why they had to change his laws. But he will remind them that it is extremely dangerous for sinners to be in the presence of a holy God. God is there, and he is a consuming fire. That is why hell is called a fire, because God is present in hell, not with mercy, forgiveness, and love, but with wrath and condemnation and punishment. to destroy those who jumped the fence, those who abused his commandments. For God is serious about what he has commanded. He will not lower his law just so that one can reach it. He is holy, he is just, and he demands that you be perfect from the very moment of conception till the very moment that you breathe your last. As fire does not waver, neither will he. As fire will not submit to your whim, neither will his law. Play with fire and you will get burned. Play around with God's commands to suit your liking, and the fire of hell waits. And so the ceremonies of Sinai match the teaching. God is holy, Israel is not. Sinners cannot be in the presence of a holy God without destruction. So no Israelite walked away that day saying to his wife, "I think tomorrow we'll check out Baal and see what he has to offer." We do well to pay attention, for this God has not changed. The fiery, noisy, trembling mountain revealed the holiness of his law. Do this or die. And who is equal to such a task? And that is why Christ came to fulfill the law. Jesus did not come to make God nice. If that were true, then three other things would also be true. One, that God is not love, for Jesus would have to make him more loving. Two, that Jesus changed the word of God, and we know that the word cannot be changed. And three, that Jesus would not be the God of the Old Testament. And yet he himself is the one who identified himself by saying, "I am." Before Abraham was, I am. So he is the one who appeared to Moses in the burning bush and to Israel on Mount Sinai. So yes, even in the New Testament, the law remains unmoving, unmoved, unyielding. The divine fire that burns without consuming will destroy the wicked at the last. For the trumpet will sound once more, and the dead will be raised, and all will stand having to give an account of their deeds. For this same God, I am your Lord and Savior. He will come back to judge the living and the dead. And so he did not come at Christmas to make God nice. He did not come at Christmas to take down the fence so you can casually roam about wherever you please, doing whatever you want. He came to fulfill the law. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. The Father sent Jesus to fulfill the law, for your outward clean clothes cannot cleanse your heart. Your outward actions cannot purify your heart. So Jesus took your place. He was born under the law to redeem you who were born under the law. He accomplished what you could not. And so he earned what you could not earn. The Ten Commandments perfectly describe how Jesus lived, never turning aside in heart, actions, or words, never bending the knee to Baal, to government, to popularity, to money, or to influence. He remained pure, holy, and righteous. And so that law, those Ten Commandments, declare Jesus righteous before God. He has earned what we could not. And Pilate looks at him and tells the Jews, "I find no guilt in him." For the law has marked him as holy. So of all the men to have ever lived, Jesus is the only one who should cross the fence, the only man who should be allowed to enter into the very presence of God while the rest of mankind burns on the outside. But as the murderer Barabbas found out, Jesus switches places. He took your place underneath the wrath and condemnation of God. Roasted over the fires of hell, Jesus hung in the darkness, bearing the weight of your sins. The soul that sins shall die. Jesus bore your sins, so he must die. And he did. Yet his death doesn't make God nice, but his death reveals the Father to be just and the one who justifies. The standard of the law has not changed. Do this or die. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Sinai is not obliterated, but it is fulfilled by Jesus. And the punishment has been endured by Jesus. Thus you are free. Like Barabbas, you go free. Free not to live however you please, but free to walk in the way of his commands. Free to be holy, even as God himself is holy. God remains holy and just. And when your stumbling into sin stokes God's fiery wrath and the trumpet blast shakes your knees, the bloodied hands of your Savior and his pierced side stand as your defense. God is the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. So in Jesus, you have kept the law perfectly. In Jesus, you are holy. In Jesus, you are justified, declared not guilty. In Jesus, you can cross the fence, touch the mountain of God, and enter into his very presence to receive the gifts that he has won. In Jesus, you are saved. You can ascend that thick, dark cloud, not because God is nice, relatable, comfortable, kind, friendly, or casual. He's none of those things. But because in Jesus, you are justified, holy, righteous, and pure. So let us enter into the very presence of God, touch that holy mountain we call the chancel, to receive this holy I Am, our Lord and Savior, on our lips. Let us approach with reverence and with awe, with fear and with trembling, yet with joy and with great thanksgiving. And that will be seen in our ceremonies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.